I talked about getting hungry for God. Our scripture on the banner says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Church, we have got to hunger. We have got to thirst after God. There is no other answer. As believers, we need to hunger for God. Last week, our youth presented for us some of their gifts and abilities, how God is using them. And I talked to you, it's my desire that all of us would get more involved, that all of us would do more. In fact, last week at the end of the message, I want to invite Diana Hunt to come up for a moment. But Diana came to me at the end of the service last week and just mentioned there are a lot of things we do up front, but there's a lot of things that we do behind the scenes. And she came to me and just said, I just want to kind of, I don't know, remind me or whatever, but Diana, you have served behind the scenes so much, and I know what you said in first service, and she's not real comfortable being in front of people. But I asked her, I said, would you come? Because I can say it. But when you hear somebody who lives there, I just think it's meaningful. So Diana, kind of tell me or remind us again what kind of your heart was behind coming to me.
Everybody who knows me.
Is that one? Oh, the batteries. Got battery problems here. Go ahead.
Everyone who knows me knows I'm always doing something. But it's just the way I'm wired. I hear a need and I've got to fill it. You know, sometimes I try to do too much, I guess. But this church is an awesome church. I've been here a long time, but I keep seeing the same people doing all the work. It seems like 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work, and that's not right. There's so many more talented people out there, and you just don't know what your talents are. Pastor mentioned. Did you mention about the website?
I'm going to mention we're working on a website, or at least a part of our website. Taught Pastor Matt. We're trying to get a spiritual gifts test to help you identify, at least out of the seven motivational gifts, at least identify what are your gifts is, or where you can serve, and how we can kind of help you find that. So that's what she's bringing up.
I took a test like that years ago, and it confirmed that I was where I was supposed to be at the time. And one of my gifts is organization. Just give me some stuff and I can make it look good and make it functional. And that's where I've used all my talents that the Lord has given me. But there's so many more things out there that can be done. The ushers, the nursery workers, the people that put the bulletin together that you read every week. Are you aware that a crew comes in every week and takes care of that? All these events that we have, it takes a lot to put it together, not just during, but before and after. There's a lot of setup, there's tear down, and many times it's the same people doing both. And we're going to wear everybody out if the same ones are doing everything. Personally, I was doing too much. I had a couple meltdowns last year because I was doing too much. And I had to realize I had to back off. But if the same people are doing the same stuff, you don't realize you're missing a blessing when you're helping the Lord do his work. That's also how you get to know your neighbors, your fellow. It's not just sitting here or even in a classroom. It's serving side by side, doing whatever needs to be done. And there are so many needs in this church. Everything doesn't happen by magic. I mean, it's like I said, the nursery, the bulletin, all these events, the royal family that I'm heavily involved in. Yeah, we're all there at camp, but it takes a whole day for us just to set up the camp. It takes another day to take it all down, pack it in the truck, unload the truck. Any function that happens, when I do registration for the camp, we got to get somebody to load the luggage on the bus. God bless him. Dean has been there every year for I don't know how many years helping me load that bus with the luggage. Well, Dean is getting up there, but he's still going.
Dean, she said you're old.
But.
Just that's the interpretation. So.
But it shouldn't always be the same people all the time. If you're not doing anything else other than being here in the sanctuary and going to a Sunday school, you're missing out so much that the Lord can bless you through whatever you're doing. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It can just be a little bit each time. Whenever something's mentioned, think about it. Is there something I can do? Can I help in some way? It doesn't have to be everything. Like the work day you mentioned, I'd go, but due to back issues, I can't go rip up carpeting. But there's other things that, you know, people can do. Our class is going to help paint the hallways this summer, and I can roll a wall. But, you know, you do what you can do, and just everybody gets involved because this is your church, and we all need to get involved. And like I said, you're missing the blessing of serving.
Amen. I didn't tell her what to say. And that's why I had her come, because she began to share last week, and I'm like, you know, who better than one who is right there, you know? And I love to serve. I love to help the church. If we're going to do more, we got to do more. I mean, it's real profound. And it's just where we got to live. And those gifts he put in you for his glory. Let me just read a passage to you, Romans chapter 12. It says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. And if it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I just think it's so important. And I used the scripture last week from Philippians 1:9 that says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more. That's my prayer for you. That your love, that how you love God and how you love others will just happen more and more. And just keep overflowing. And that you'll keep growing in knowledge and understanding. In a couple of weeks, I believe in 2 weeks, next week is Resurrection Sunday. The following week, I'm going to do a message on healing, because I just believe there's more. I do not want to lose sight of divine healing. I want God to heal you. Today, I'm going to be talking about God filling you. First of all, with salvation and making sure that foundation's right, but then the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God wants to use his church to evangelize the world. I believe he wants to use the church to, yes, worship him, but also encourage and edify believers. We have to build each other up. We need to be the teachers. We need to rock babies. We need to sing songs. We just got to do more than we ever have. But let me get to my focus today. It's not just that I want to do more, but I think one of the things we have to realize is that God has more. There's a lot of things I'll go to God. Well, yesterday we had at home, and I never said anything, so please don't let this change future events. But what happened was we had supper, and my boy was home last night early, or actually all day with us yesterday, which is amazing. But he was with us. We had supper, and I heard my wife. I was sitting down having mine, and he got up, and I heard my wife say, well, maybe Dad wants more. And I kind of said, I'm all right. And so I finished my plate, and I decided, I'd like a little more. Got up, went over, and there was no more. So I went to the cabinet. I found Frosted Flakes, and I had some more. In that simple analogy is, I think there are things we want, and I would have had more of what was for supper, but when it was gone. But I think we got to realize that sometimes it isn't what we want, but God has more For me, it was in the cabinet. Put a little milk with it, it was more, and it was enough. But it was, you know, and I think so many times, it's not always what you want, but you need to go after what he has. And there are seasons and times that he'll even gift us with things, but I want to go after the more. But we've got to be thirsty for it. A little joke here. There was a young boy who was sent to bed by his father. The boy goes to bed, but 5 minutes later he cries out, "Dad!" And Dad answers, "What?" He says, "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink of water?" And the dad responds, "No, son. You had your chance. Now lights out." 5 minutes later, "Dad! What, son?" "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink of water?" "Now I told you, son, no. And if you ask me again, I'll have to spank you." 5 minutes later, "Dad! What, son?" "When you come in to spank me, can you bring me a drink of water?" This boy was thirsty. Have we gotten thirsty enough that even we would take the discipline of God? We're like, "God, that's enough. I can't." How thirsty are you? How thirsty? Sprite had a marketing campaign in the late 90s. You might remember it. It says, "Image is nothing. Thirst is everything. Obey your thirst." You remember that slogan? Unfortunately, the world has obeyed their thirst. And they drink up whatever's around them called love. They drink up whatever their neighbors call happiness. They're trying to find meaning and significance in life. And they listen to people like Dr. Phil and Oprah. And unfortunately, it only creates more thirst because it never satisfies. But Jesus teaches us about thirst. I want you to listen to a life-giving story. It's found in John chapter 4. I usually don't read this long of a portion, but I thought being in church, reading scripture might be a good thing. But sometimes I want to be careful. I'm not just picking out scriptures, though I know sometimes we do that for the emphasis for that moment. But let me read this story to you. Found in John chapter 4. Beginning at verse 5. Eventually it says he came, talking of Jesus, to the Samaritan village in Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, the history in this verse is incredible. If you go back to the Samaritans, you go all the way back to Ahab, king, and then they bring up in this verse a field that Jacob owned that was given to Joseph way back before Israel was even really a nation themselves, called Israel. In fact, there was a well there. In fact, verse 6 says Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw a well, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. Jesus said to her, she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you, and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. "And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" And Jesus replied, Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the one you're living with now." "You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshiped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Father, add your blessing to your word and your anointing to our ears. Change us, God. Awaken our hearts and let us understand that this is more than religion. This is life in you. Amen. The woman came that day to the well to draw water. But really, she was looking for something more. She had been through a slew of marriages, and now she's living with someone that she thought, "Well, maybe I just live with them. This will be less painful." She was thirsty, but not for water. She was thirsty for acceptance, for love, for meaning in life, for real happiness. She didn't really know it at the moment, but she was really thirsty for God. Jesus knew it. And Jesus makes her an offer that day, an offer of life, a living water. All she would have to do is receive it, and she would have it. And later in the story, if you read a couple more passages, you'll find that they believed in who he was, that he was the Savior of the world. The story is about salvation. There is a life-giving water that God gives and longs to give each and every one of us. In fact, at salvation, the Holy Spirit takes residence. He moves in because your spirit was dead, and when he moves in, he makes your spirit alive. Paul talks about this. This is salvation. And there is a living water, and even as I read this, I sometimes question, because I look at people, and I'm trying not to be judgmental in my thought here, but he said that this river would be, or this water would be in us, and it'd be like a river that's bubbling, a spring. I don't know if you know what a spring is, but a spring just keeps gushing and seems to be no end to it. But sometimes I look around at all the sour faces that come to church, and I'm wondering, is there any bubbling going on inside? We used to sing the hokiest choruses in church. "It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. There's singing and laughter. Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it." Right? Because they don't. And we would sing these songs. It's bubbling, bubbling. "Youth, you ought to try it on Wednesday night." They're like, "Can you put a cool beat to it?" But church, you have been given the waters of eternal life, and I wonder, are they bubbling inside? Is there really anything to it? Are you saved? Then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I just wonder. We get outside of here, and what do? We put a stopper in it? Church, this thing ought to bubble. It ought to spring up, oh well, within my soul. Salvation, church. There is life to it. There is eternal life to it. There is something that ought to be living in us. And it ought to be proclaimed. And we do it so well for 15, 20 minutes in worship. And then something happens. We leave, it seems, the presence, but the presence is in you. You can leave the presence, but the presence said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He wants to abide. And Jesus offers this to anyone who is willing. And I'm going to just take a moment right now. If you just bow your heads, open your hearts. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, there is no better day than today, for today is the day of salvation for you. There is a river of life He wants to offer. And all you have to do is confess that He is Lord and believe in your heart that He died and is risen from the dead. And you'll be saved. If that's you today, balcony, main floor, would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I want to pray with you today. I want to believe with you again myself. If there's anyone needs that salvation today, please don't miss the moment. The Holy Spirit is talking to you. He is speaking to you, saying, you're thirsty, and I have water that you can never thirst again for the things of this world. We change our appetite. Is that you today? Just one more look around. I'm not going to take long with this. Is there anyone? I don't see hands today. Look at me. So I'm talking to all of you now, the rest of you. I don't know that everybody's accepted, but I'm going to talk to you as though everybody's a believer in here now. Because we have to deal with salvation first. We've got to know that He abides, that He does live within me. But you need to understand that God has more. I'll go ahead and tell you, I wonder sometimes in the Pentecostal movement, though, if we've stopped after the very next thing. We believe in what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in the early church, there was a group that they went to, and they all got saved. And then they asked them, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And they said, we hadn't even heard of the Holy Spirit. And he begins to share, and the Holy Spirit falls into place, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak in tongues and with the evidence. And it's just incredible because there was more. But church, I don't even want to stop after the baptism. I wonder, are we operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The power gifts. That's why in a couple of weeks I want to preach on healing. I just want us to know there's more, that He has gifts of healing and gifts of miracles. There's gifts of knowledge and wisdom, all these power gifts. And then there's the fruit of the Spirit that begins to produce out of our lives. And then there's keeping in step with the Spirit. I'll go ahead and let you in on a secret. I already know what I'm preaching at the end of April. There's a book I'm reading right now called Soul Detox. And I'm only going to do a message or two. I'm not even sure I'm going to do one or two. But I want to offer the book to you. I'm not really big on offering a lot of books, but church, I believe the toxins of this world have invaded us, and it invaded our souls, and we need to detox our souls. In church, that's keeping in step with the Spirit. And the problem is my spirit wars against my flesh. And the problem is, if I quit giving up on going after more of the Spirit, guess who's going to win? My flesh. So I'm okay with the Spirit warring, because he raises up a standard and says, wait a minute. And it's called conviction. And I'm convicted of things, and therefore I change. Why? Because the Holy Spirit allows the grace for me to change. But this morning I kind of want to focus in on another part that Jesus talked about. In John chapter 7, a couple of verses here, it says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, this festival happened to be the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles goes all the way back to Moses when he led the Israelites into the wilderness, and they camped in tents, and they were to remember the days that they were in tents, and the day that when God said, pick up your tent, we're moving, and they would move. And that's what they did. And Jesus, interesting enough, on this last and the greatest day of the Festival of Tabernacles, he gets up, Jesus stood, and said in a loud voice. It's a little bit unique to me. I know he went to the temple and flipped over tables and did things that seemed to take us off guard. But this day, he interrupts. And I want you to hear what he says. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. In verse 38, whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. I don't know about you. Have you ever been to, how many have been to Niagara Falls? I don't know about you, but it still amazes me that they let you stand so close. With all of our law, I mean, like, shouldn't you have to buckle up or something before you get too close? But they'll let you stand right there. And I stand, whenever I go, it just amazes me. I stand at the edge and I watch as water rolls off of a cliff. I looked it up. I kind of wanted to know how much water's there. Every minute, they say 10,500,000 gallons of water pour over. That's 150,000 gallons every second. And then I look up river and there's billions of gallons yet coming. I wonder, will it ever dry up? And Jesus tells us there's a river that will never run dry. He tells us there's a promise of a water that I have if you'll drink of me. A water that satisfies our thirst to have an abundant life, an overflowing life. And if you're really ever going to be satisfied, you have to drink from Jesus. I appreciate you coming week after week, but listen, I do not have words of life. I have words of life that I share. But if you really want anything, you need to step in and drink of Jesus. I wish I had power. I wish I could do something. But church, I have nothing. But I know one who has everything. But you got to drink from him. And church, a statement I share with staff, you need to drink from the faucet. Because that's where the fresh water comes from. But unfortunately, many people drink from the drain. This world has been fooled into drinking from contaminated water. And they think it's enough. And I wonder sometimes if you're just getting the drain from everybody else, why don't you go to the faucet yourself? Find out what it's like to have real fresh water from the King of Kings. But too many have chosen to be satisfied with whatever they do at the moment feels right. And it temporarily satisfies, but it eventually drains them. And too many people settle for it. Church, I'm telling you right now, you start going hard after God. You get filled with the Spirit, and it's not going to be easy. I'm telling you right now, there's hard times coming. We're going to have to live countercultural. We're going to have to be considered unpopular. Church is not popular anymore. I know you don't want to hear that. Church is good. It is good. But it's not popular, church. That's why you need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to have a river that flows in through you, because you're going to need strength in these days. I want to read to you. Let me read this passage again to you, but I want to add the next verse. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Verse 39. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Remember when he comes out of the grave and Mary comes up and he wants to touch him, and he's like, "No, can't touch me yet, I'm not glorified." But I want you to know, we not only have a risen Savior, we have an ascended Savior. And he is glorified. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He's been given a name that's above every name. And at that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, he is Lord. And because he did that, he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in his church and fill his church with power. He wanted not only to have residence, but he wanted to be revealed in that residence. He wanted to flow through us. He wants to give us power for living. He wants to baptize you, immerse you. The word is the same word we use with water baptism, to be immersed, to totally be drenched in. But is that what you want? I just want a touch. Can I just have a drop of it? I just like the feeling. Because the drenching will change your life. And there may be some of you that need to be refilled. I thought you said it would never run dry. No, but you can step out of the stream. And I feel like, church, we walk along beside it, we put our toe in, and we enjoy it. I'm telling you, plunge in. I want you to go after God. I want your life to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't want to just have an idea of salvation. I want to be fully saved. Then I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be used by the Holy Spirit. I just don't want the gifts that motivate me to use in church, serve, and all of those. Those are great. But I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow. This morning, the words that God is trying to speak and awake and arouse his church. But you have to be hungry. You have to be thirsty. And you've got to drink from Jesus. We have water fountains out there. I'm sure many have used them. You had a little thirst and you found the source to try to quench it. I'm telling you the source this morning. Interesting scripture that's found when Jesus tells his disciples that you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But he said, the Father will send the Spirit in my name. So church, I want us to drink from Jesus today. There is an infilling, and I think so many times people have tried to explain it and teach it. And I don't think teaching's wrong. And I'm going to be talking. I'm still working on all these messages. This thing went in my heart is just growing. I meant it to be just, it was going to end this week, but it can't. I just feel like I need to teach you. But I'm not going to teach you about the Holy Spirit today. Because I think if you'll just get hungry and you go after God, it's a thing of God that God will do it. I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. I sing in tongues. And I edify myself. It builds me up. And I hope I glorify God. Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. But church, I'll be honest with you. It really isn't about the tongues. There's an initial physical evidence, but it's not about tongues. It's about your life. You want more? There's more. It's God has more. Dean, you've been walking with the Lord 80, I don't know how many years, but you're 84 years old. And I know you've been walking with him for a long time. Carl, Snaiman, you've been walking with the Lord for a long time. Your wives, how many have been serving the Lord over 50 years? Raise your hand. Stand up. Over 50 years. Keep standing for a moment. We applaud you because of your faith. Thank you for standing the test of time. Don't sit down yet. I'm going to test you. Thank you, though. But there's more. You've been with them 50 years or more, but there's more. I don't think you're the ones who set a lot of this up. You're the ones who paid many, many times over and have been faithful in giving, faithful in serving, that we could even gather today. Thank you. But there's more for you. And I don't want your generation to say, well, we're just going to pass the torch. I want you to keep yours burning. I just want you to light somebody else. Keep hungry. You may be seated. How many have been serving the Lord somewhere between 20 and 50 years? Stand up. 20 years after that, maybe some of you are pushing the 50, but I'm telling you, it can kind of get old. In fact, you can get burned out. But it's because you burned in your own strength. If you go back to the tabernacle, it's a beautiful picture. When you walk into the tabernacle and the curtains would close, it would be extremely dark, except for a candlestick that was over on this side. And it was because there was oil inside each one, and there was a wick. And the wick would burn because it drew upon the oil. Every day, though, the priest would have to come in and they trim the wick because it needs to be trimmed. And today I'm trimming you. I'm telling you, there's more. And the oil to draw represented the Holy Spirit. Draw upon him. Do not try to do it in your own strength. You will not make it. And the wick one day will burn up. It's intended to burn up and be used all up, but for his glory, because it lights the place where across the room is the bread of life, the showbread, the bread that represents Jesus. I'm telling you, don't get burned out and don't get burned up early. Keep trimming. Keep going after. There is more for you. There's more. You may be seated. 20 and under. 20 years and under, and that means you've been serving the Lord 20 years and under. Maybe you're a new baby Christian. Some of you have come to Christ later in life. Some of you early on in life. This morning, I'm asking you, if there ought to be anybody bubbling, it ought to be you. There ought to be something alive in you that somehow stirs the rest of us. I'm at the 40-year mark of serving the Lord. And I'm telling you, I want this thing to bubble again. And I don't want you to think, wow, I'm really alive. It's been really good. There's more for you. There's more. You may be seated. The next stand is going to be on your call, not mine. Because the next one will be whether you want more or not. I'm just going to ask Pastor Matt to lead us in worship. It won't matter really what's being sung. If you want to worship, worship. That moves you toward the more because it gets your mind focused. You enter into his gates with and into his courts with and you give thanks to the Lord and bless his name. That gets you there. But then there's the place when you get there and quit asking for what you want more of right now. I want you to ask him, God, what have you got that's more? What stage am I in that you're going to give me more? Because church, he's always got more. But this will be your decision. If you stand, if you come to an altar, if you kneel in a seat, it's going to be because you want more. It's because you desire. And church, I moved in my heart this morning and I have struggled. I've struggled because I'm like, God, I don't have anything to offer. I want to give them something, but all I can say is go to the faucet. Let's find the living water. Let's get a fresh outpouring. I don't want to live on my outpouring from someone. I was 14, so I can't do math that fast. 26 years ago, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I can't live on that. I want more today. I want more. Worship team, thank you for worshiping. Thank you for leading. But if this is not a moment to lead and it's a moment to seek, go after it. But maybe it takes the praise. You have to understand, I don't know what God's going to do in you. And it may be next week. It may be the next week. But if we'll keep pressing in, something is going to happen to you. Amen. So Heavenly Father, we didn't fellowship with one another today. We have specifically reserved that time for you. So Lord, we're coming to praise you. We're coming to say, give us what you desire. Fill your church. In Jesus' name. Your dismissal will be on your own. Go after God. If you go to Noodles, tell them not only you're from Northville, but tell them you're a believer. If any place is going to be a good place today, you'll probably be amongst believers. Live it unashamed. Go after God, church. Go after God.